There we go. Okay. Amen. We've got to say my wife and I are thoroughly enjoy coming here. We enjoy the sweetness of the fellowship. And I got to tell you, victory in Jesus, I've taught at PG Mission for 18 years. That is a staple. Amen. I mean, we just, and he's up there banging away like Beethoven. So we had a great old, just time of fellowship and reminiscence hearing those songs. There's a visiting family here. You can't tell because none of them look alike, and they all don't sit in the same row. Oh, yes, they do, okay? You know, ladies, it's always good to see girls that, you know, that have that gracious, sweet spirit, and we're always glad to have people come along. And today I want to talk about something that I hope will encourage all of you to keep praying. Now, there's a saying that's been out for a lot of years, and if you know it, finish the sentence with me. The squeaky wheel gets the grease, amen? And I can tell you when you're, if you grow up and you have kids, and I'm pointing at this family here because they've had quite a few of them, amen? There is no more squeaky a wheel in your life sometimes than your kids. Now, you can be sitting at the kitchen table drinking a cup of coffee with a friend, or you could be standing out in the yard and all of a sudden your little boy walks up to you and what's he start doing? Dad? Dad? Dad, and then he starts tugging on your clothes like a church bell. Dad, Dad. Until finally you go, what is it? Can I have a cookie? Okay, son, go ahead and have the cookie. Runs in the house, comes back with a face full of chocolate 5 minutes later. Dad, Dad, Dad. Yes, son, can I have a glass of milk too? Yes, you can, son, okay? And you realize at this point, it's not because he's your son, and it's not because he does anything else, but these kids just won't let up until they get what they want. Let me ask you a question. How many people have been to the grocery store in the last week? Every one of us have. You're going to buy groceries? What do they put right at the checkout line, right as you're getting ready to put your groceries on the conveyor belt? Candy. And when your kid sees that, his face lights up like a Christmas tree. He goes, Mom, 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 I want that. Tell him no, and it's like he just got thrown out of a building. The sour look, the bent chin. And he starts crying. It's like, look, we've got a whole thing of these at home, son. We've got ho-hos and ring-dings and Zuzu bars. He goes, I want that one. That one, Mom, Dad, come on. Until finally, either you yield or the kid stops asking. Today, we're going to find out what happens when the squeaky wheel not only gets the grease, he gets the best grease of all, doesn't he? Now, our scripture reading this morning was coming from Mark, and you see one thing that John and all the other apostles tell us is that Jesus wants us to do what? Ask him. Now, the song that he sang here this morning, by the way, I didn't know he was a crooner either, amen? So next time I do a wedding, I'm going to bring this guy along for the ride because I'm telling you, it was really beautiful, and he's really got a beautiful voice. And I didn't say that because you asked me to come here today, amen? I'm not trying to grease anybody's wheel. But it's an amazing thing about how this day goes for people. And like I said, we talked last week. As most of you know, I was here 3 or 4 weeks ago, and I'm still battling leukemia, and we are hopefully in the last 2 or 3 months of it because the enzyme pill, if we take it for 2 months, they say it'll either cure us or put it in remission. But I got to tell you, I can't tell you how many hundreds of nights I've been begging God for healing. And right now, it's not done yet, but I believe it's going to be done. So I'm going to squeak till God gives me some grease, amen? But the good news is, as we see it, God shows us throughout all scriptures of people who are like that. If very quickly you turn over to Luke chapter 18, just read the first 6 or 7 verses. Luke is speaking and he says this. Give you a minute to hear the leaves rustling. That's always such a good sound for a preacher, I'm telling you. Amen. It's better than a left foot of fellowship any day. Amen. So, but we read in Luke 18, Jesus is speaking. He spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men always ought to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in the city a judge which feared not God nor regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she wears me out. And Jesus said, hear what the unjust judge is saying. Shall not God avenge his elect that cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. So there have been people who have been dead for thousands of years, perhaps, that were wronged on this side of glory, and they're telling God, God, do something. God, we can't wait for this. Even in Revelation chapter 6, it says that under the fifth seal were those who were slain for the witness of Christ, and they're saying, how long, O Lord, will you not avenge our blood? And they've been crying out for what? Years. God does not mind people who keep at him. In fact, he only encourages it. You're going to find out today about Bartimaeus, who absolutely learned the greatest lesson of all. So as we start our scripture test, it says he came to Jericho, and as you know, as he's coming to Jericho, Jesus and his disciples and other followers, the Jericho road led from Jericho to Jerusalem. So he's coming down there, and it says a great number of people were there, but then there's this guy sitting beside the side of the road. And he's named because he's not only got an affliction, but he's got the clothes to prove it. See, back in those days, anybody who had a malady had to wear something that said they did. Lepers, when they came into town, had to not only cover their face with a garment, cover their body, but they had to shout, unclean, unclean, get away from me. Because all you had to do was touch them, and leprosy was yours. So Bartimaeus, as a beggar, had the garment of a beggar on. Now, if you think about Bartimaeus, imagine what life is like for him every day. He can't see, and 6 days a week besides the Sabbath, he gets somebody to probably lead him by the side of the road, where he'll sit there from morning till night begging for money. And it's a tragedy because sometimes we know that people really do have needs and they ask in sincerity. However, if you've been on the road lately or been at a traffic light lately, you see these warriors and they got signs, we'll work for food, need money, my car broke down, please help. And they got the most pathetic looks on their faces. Now, sometimes they're true to what they believe, but sometimes it's just an act. But for Bartimaeus, this is no act. This is life. And ladies and gentlemen, when you've been afflicted like that, there's no fun in your day. So he's brought by the side of the road and probably sat in the same place for years. It doesn't tell us how long he was blind. It doesn't tell us how long he was begging. It just says he was there. And it says in verse 47, it says that when he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Now, you know that Bartimaeus is probably going to be 50, 100 people with Jesus. We don't know. But he starts saying something because he had heard something about this carpenter from Nazareth, hadn't he? Evidently, he's heard that Jesus could do amazing things like heal blind people, make deaf people hear. And I've got news for you, ladies and gentlemen. Bartimaeus knew this was his chance. So he starts crying out. Yeshua ben David, rachemli, that's what it says in Hebrew. Have mercy on me. And the amazing thing is, you would think that the people in Jesus' crowd would be glad to have Jesus do another miracle right there, but what do they say to him? Shut up. Shh. The Jesus is coming. So what does Bartimaeus do? Does he take it for granted and kind of duck his head? Nope. Dad. Oh, Dad. Dad. And he says it again. And it says, many in verse 48 says, they charged him he should hold his peace, but he did what? He kept right on yakking. Jesus, have mercy on me. And finally, Jesus stops and says, bring him over. Now, you can bet, folks, that sometimes the very same people that tell you to shut up suddenly get an amazing change of heart when they realize that God's in it. If you remember in the scriptures, the Syrophoenician woman who came after Jesus and said what? In Matthew 15, she said, have mercy on me, Lord, my daughter is sore vexed. Jesus didn't have anything to do with her, did he? He walked away from her. So she did what? She cried after the disciples, have mercy on me, my daughter's it got a demon. And so finally, the disciples say, Lord, she's calling after us, do something. Now, you may think the response of Jesus in this point is cruel, but it's not. There's a greater yes that was coming. because she wouldn't take no for an answer. So, of course, she goes up to Jesus and says, my daughter is sore vexed, and have mercy on me and help us. And Jesus says, I was only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Does that sound hard? But what does she say? Have mercy on me. Come on. So then he goes, listen, it's not right to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs, is it? She goes, that's true, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that lay off the table. And what did the Lord say? Oh, woman, great is your faith. Because, see, sometimes what looks like a brick wall is a gold pavement. And all you got to do sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, when you keep at it and you keep asking and you keep seeking and you keep knocking, you're going to get the answer to your prayers. And from that very hour, it says, the devil left her daughter. Now, you can imagine what she thought of Jesus at that point. There was no rudeness. There was what? There was righteousness to say, keep at me, girl. Keep asking. Now, you can see from the reaction of the crowd, not only does Bartimaeus get to come over to Jesus, but he does something that's remarkable, folks. He takes his beggar garment off. He doesn't put it aside and fold it. He casts it away from him. Because whatever he had heard about Jesus, he knew Jesus could do something. Now, when I say this to you about persistent prayer and being the squeaky wheel, listen, you got to believe what you pray. Because there are some of us in this audience that have been praying for loved ones for 10, 20, and 30 years, amen? Not only praying for people to get saved, for people to get well, and I can tell you, being afflicted like this, I've had people all over the world pray for me. We used to get Facebooks every day, sometimes 5, 10, 15, 20 a day. But I thank God for the men and women who won't let up until God says, okay. But there's something more to this, because when I ask you to believe your prayers, if you look over at Acts chapter 12, real quick, it's the story of Peter being put in jail. I'm going to read a couple of verses away from it, and so we'll understand the gist of the context. Still waiting for the leaves. It still sounds good. I'll wait for you to rake a couple more seconds. But it says that about that time, verse number one, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. These were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him into prison and delivered him to 16 soldiers to keep him, intending after Pentecost to bring him out to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer, now listen to this, was made without ceasing unto the church of God for him. So now they got all these people back in somebody's house praying up a storm for Peter. Oh God, release Peter. Oh God, help Peter. And there they are. They're at it, folks. They're at a prayer meeting. And these are godly men and women. So what happens is, next thing you know, there's an angel of the Lord there. Next thing you know, Peter's up and he's at the gates of the city. And he says, I know now that God has delivered me from the purposes of the Jews. So let's go down to verse number 12. And he said, when he considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And when Peter knocked on the door to the gate, a damsel came forth to listen named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she didn't open the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. Now remember, folks, these folks have been praying probably all day and all night for Peter because they know he's going to get killed if he doesn't. What'd they say to her? Verse number 15, you're crazy. And she said, but it's him. She goes, what? Well, it's his angel. Folks, that's the craziest thing in the world, is that they actually ask for God to do something and he does it. But it says Peter continued knocking. And when they opened the door and saw them, they were what? Astonished. You'd think they'd be glad, but what? Did they really expect God to answer their prayer? Or were they just going through formalities? Folks, God cannot stand a person that opens his mouth and doesn't believe it with his heart. And I say this to you, ladies and gentlemen, because God loves the sincerity of a prayer that he believes is going to go somewhere. So, you know what happens. Peter's saved and the soldiers were put to death. But let's go back to our lesson. And here's Bartimaeus, and now he gets called over. And it says in verse number 51, Jesus said, "What do you want me to do to you?" Now remember, this man wasn't born blind, folks. He became blind. And you understand that when you lose one of your major senses, like sight, smell, hearing, or touch, your other senses are enhanced. It's amazing how deaf people can hear you coming a block away because their ears are tuned up. But Bartimaeus didn't want those senses enhanced. He just wanted the big one back, and he said, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said, "What? Go your way. Your faith has made you whole." Squeak, squeak, gush, grease. And I say that, ladies and gentlemen, because I tell all of you in this audience today, there are prayers that God wants you to keep on praying. It's not just a one-trick pony sometimes. And this happened here. It was great. But the way God builds our faith sometimes is over years and years of praying for people, places, and things. And the reason I say that is because if you go to the book of Isaiah very quickly, let me go back to that. I think it's, let me check my notes here. Sorry about that, I had them punched together. Isaiah 62, verses 6 and 7. And hear how God wants us to treat his ear. Isaiah 62, verse 6 says, "I have set watchmen upon your walls, O Jerusalem. They shall never hold their peace, day nor night. But ye that mention the Lord, don't keep silent. And listen to this. And give him no rest till he makes Jerusalem a praise of the earth." So God is telling us to be what with him? Obnoxious. Like your kid, he knows just when to keep going because he knows you're either going to give in or holler at him. But I say this to you in this audience today. If you've been praying for somebody for years, don't quit. Please don't quit. You're right at the door of an answer. So what do we gain out of this? Jesus says what? Don't quit. Don't faint. Because one day, guess what? Jerusalem will be the praise of the earth, won't it? Our Bible tells us, as I close this message, Psalm 122, verse 6, it says to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. So God commands us until he makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth, keep praying for its peace. Because ladies and gentlemen, I can tell you personally, I prayed loved ones into the kingdom after 20 and 30 years. There are still people I pray for now that I've been praying for 35 years. But one day that prayer is going to be answered because God says, don't let up when you know you're going to wait for an answer. I say this to you because, like I said, not only are people waiting and they have the love in their hearts for loved ones, but I will tell you, ladies and gentlemen, God knows a prayer warrior when he sees one. My last illustration, and I'll use this before we close, is God's prayer and God's meeting with Abraham. Now remember, he comes down in Genesis and he says, you know, "Abe, I'm going down to Sodom to see if what's going on down there is happening." Now you already know that God knows what's happening. But what does Abraham do? He says, "Lord, you're not going to destroy the righteous with the wicked, are you? That's not like you. God, you always do what's right. Shall the judge of the earth not always do what's right?" So it's comical because here is a man who is bargaining with God. He says, "Lord, what if there's 50 righteous? Will you destroy the city?" Lord said, "Okay, for 50's sake, I'll save the city. How about 45? God says, "Okay, for 45, won't destroy the city." Abe goes, "How about 40? I'm telling you, talk about a guy who could go somewhere and haggle the market. Abraham was a champion. Because next he goes, "Well, what if it's only 30? God goes, "Okay, for 30's sake, I won't destroy the city." Abraham goes, "Look, Lord, let me just, how about 20? And you sit there and you watch a man who knew that God was his friend, and all he had to do was talk to him. And the Lord says, what? For 20, I won't destroy it. He says, okay, Lord, one last time. How about 10? And God said, what? For 10, I won't destroy the city. Abraham could have kept going from that number, couldn't he? Because there wasn't even 5. But he said, for 10's sake, I won't destroy the city. And the next day when Abraham looked up and looked towards Sodom and he saw the smoke of the city burn like a furnace, even Abraham knew that there weren't 10. But he kept on asking, didn't he? He kept on getting God to a position of going smaller and smaller and smaller. But Abraham got his prayer answered and God got his will done. So I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, today, please, you go home and you have your quiet time with the Lord. Believe what you ask him and don't be afraid to be bold. Because like I said, there's a blind man 2,000 years ago that sees. There's a woman who had a daughter that could walk around without screaming or falling on the ground and writhing. And there was a woman who got avenged of her adversaries because they wouldn't let up, squeaking the wheel at Almighty God. I'd just like to ask by a show of hands today, are there people out there with that kind of persistent prayer? You're praying for somebody and you know, oh God, I'm not going to let you go till you get this right. Not that God won't get it right, but that God will give you the answer you desire. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for your grace with us, Lord God. Not only your grace with us, but your patience with us. Lord, you know sometimes that it's easy to answer quick prayers, but Lord, there's a way you build character, faith, and trust in us, is that we keep on asking for you for the bigger things, even where our health is concerned, even where our lives are concerned, and yes, even where our friends are concerned. But Lord, you love that. You love that fact that we won't let up. Because he likes obnoxious prayers. But we just ask you, Lord God, that you keep hearing us, Lord God, until we get the answer we desire from you, or to realize that your will has a better yes, like our brother sang this morning. Please, Lord God, let us heed the admonition not to faint, but to wait on you. In Jesus' name, amen.